the reason that you had to care. The traffic is stuck and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 11th of June, 2018. I hope you're all keeping well and that you had a great weekend. We have a great show ahead of you this morning. We're going to be talking about ways to resist food cravings. So we're going to put into place some ideas that might help you if you can't resist sweet or fatty foods. We're also going to chat about black seed oil. Now, we did cover the subject very briefly on last week's show, but I'm going to talk about the benefits of black seed oil and how they may be able to actually help you improve your health. And we have a special guest on the show this morning, a good friend of mine, Liz Ormond from Insightful Minds. Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show this morning. And we're going to be talking more with Liz in about 15 minutes, finding out what she's been up to recently and also how her services might be able to benefit you in your personal and business lives. So we'll be talking to Liz around 20 past 11. Now, if you'd like to tweet into the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show, and you can use the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Drop me a tweet to say hello, and I'll give you a shout out on air. And also, you can find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Matters Radio Show. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me personally via email, you can do so through my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk. So before we talk about food cravings, a quick show disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such advice. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other professional assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, in which case can often be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking to your local pharmacist. And all content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, experience and opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. Okay, so now that's out of the way. Let's crack on with the show. So food cravings. Now, for those of you that know me, you know that one of my specialisms is helping people to lose weight, specifically to lose body fat, but also in a very safe and sustainable way. But most people are subject to food cravings, and it's quite interesting because it's often a major roadblock for people to maintain a healthy weight. Now, if they do lose weight, they can find that junk foods and processed foods are high in sugar, high in salt and high in fat, do creep back into their diet. And actually, these junk foods, these processed foods that, you know, it's well documented aren't good for us, often lead to weight gain once someone's actually lost their weight. So what causes these cravings? Well, there's a lot of psychology going on. It can be linked to emotional eating. It can eating these foods can release hormones such as serotonin. So and endorphins, and these things mirror addiction. But the interesting thing is people very rarely do crave protein. It's always the sweet and the fatty foods. But actually, if you are a food craver, if you make a list of the foods that you do crave, it's quite interesting that many people actually crave fat more than they crave carbohydrates. Now, there will be carbs without a doubt in many of the foods that you crave. So things like crisps and chips and chocolate and ice cream and biscuits and cake and all those sorts of things that we know they're high in sugar, we know they're high in carbs, we know that they add to weight gain, but they'll also have quite a lot of fat in their in them as well. And as we mentioned, if a person eats for comfort, that can be quite difficult. If they're going through a difficult time, they may have cravings for particular foods. And pregnant women tend to crave some odd foods during pregnancy, And that's often due to the hormonal changes that often disrupt their taste and their smell receptors. And there's also a possibility in some cases where people crave foods that they that contain nutrients that they are deficient in. So if you're deficient in perhaps potassium, you might crave bananas. If you're deficient in magnesium, you may actually crave you may crave chocolate as well. And cravings can be selective or non-selective. So selective cravings are cravings that are for a specific food. So that might be a piece of chocolate, that might be a burger, it might be a packet of crisps, or it might be some cheese. And non-selective cravings can be a desire to eat anything. But the interesting thing with non-selective cravings is that it can also be a sign of thirst. And the signals between hunger and thirst, the way we recognise them, are actually very, very similar. And what I tend to recommend to clients is that they actually, if they do feel hungry or they have cravings for certain foods, to actually drink a glass of water first. And in most cases, those cravings can go away. But obviously, if they still crave particular foods afterwards, it may well be that they are hungry, but always reach for a glass of water, a big glass of water first, and that can stave off the cravings. So how can you reduce cravings? Well, stress and food are obviously interlinked for many people. So trying to reduce your stress levels can help to reduce the cravings for particular types of food. It also can help to reduce emotional eating as well. It's interesting, one study found that stressed women are more prone to more prone to craving sweets than women that aren't stressed. And obviously undue stress can cause weight gain, which can also produce lots of levels of hormones like cortisol, which is the stress hormone, which has been proven to promote fat around the midsection. So controlling stress is actually really, really important. We've already mentioned water. So as I said, hunger and thirst can produce very, very similar sensations. So if you've got real hunger pangs or you've got cravings for particular foods, then reach for a glass of water before you reach for that banana or that chocolate bar or that packet of crisps. And you may find that by actually drinking more water, a lot of your cravings do reduce down. Get enough sleep. There was an interesting study that suggested that not getting enough sleep massively alters the body's hormonal balance. And the researchers in this study noted that when people are deprived of sleep, they actually tend to overeat and they tend to gain weight. So getting enough sleep is really, really important. Eat enough protein. If your diet consists of at least 25% protein, you will tend to crave fat and carbohydrate less. And another study found that men that ate the right amount of protein, so over 25%, actually craved food much less than those people that were on a lower protein diet. And obviously it helped them to lose weight as well. Change of scenery. So obviously a lot of habits that we have are linked to our lifestyle and our routines. So if your drive home involves driving past a burger bar, then perhaps take a different route home. So change those habits. If you've got those cravings at home, then rather than give in to the cravings, do something else. Phone a friend, take a shower, go for a walk. Just do something that might distract you from giving in to that food craving. Avoid hunger. Going without food for long periods of time increases hunger pangs. And then when we have those hunger pangs, we tend to eat the things that are the most unhealthy for us. So these calorie dense, high fat, high sugar, often highly processed and sometimes fried foods. So rather than waiting for hunger and doing a really low calorie diet, actually have a regular pattern of meals that make sure that when you do eat that you have healthy meals and you have healthy snacks. And control portion size as well. So don't overeat, don't eat too much, because then the body throws the balance of the body out. So again, it all comes back to control. And if actually you do feel like you fancy a bit of chocolate, for example, have a bit of chocolate. You know, don't have a whole bar. Have the control to actually have a little bit of what you fancy, but obviously have the control that you don't eat the whole portion size. So if you do fancy chocolate, and you know, chocolate does come up quite a lot with my clients, then try to switch from milk chocolate onto dark chocolate. So chocolate that's at least 80% cocoa, because it isn't addictive, because it has less sugar and less fat in it. And actually, you won't eat as much dark chocolate, generally speaking, as you would with milk chocolate. And cravings for chocolate, as I mentioned earlier, could be a sign of magnesium deficiency. If you like crisps, then rather than reaching for a packet of crisps, have some cashew nuts or walnuts. But bear in mind that obviously nuts are high in calories, and they are high in fat, but they're high in healthy fats. So do watch the portion size. And actually, plain, unsalted, unsugared, untoffied popcorn can often be a good replacement for crisps as well. If you've got a craving for sweet things, then reach for some fruit. So some peaches or some melon or some cherries. Again, portion size is important, but fruit can often reduce those sugar cravings. If you like fizzy drinks, and you know, it's well documented that fizzy drinks, diet variety or otherwise, are not particularly good for you, then rather than reaching for a can of whatever, then have some fizzy water with a squeeze of fruit juice in it. It gives you the sensation of drinking something fizzy, but obviously has fewer calories in it and often no caffeine and no sugar. And also cheese. Cheese is a food that is very Moorish. You do need to watch the portion size, because again, it is quite high in fat and therefore high in calories. But if you've got a craving for cheese, then perhaps switch to the low fat or the low salt cheeses, which in the long term are going to be better for your health. So there you go. There's some ideas there to help you to control your food cravings, and some alternatives that you might consider if you do fancy reaching for that bar of chocolate or that can of cola flavored drink. Okay, so before we go on to the next part of our show and we interview our guest in about 5 minutes or so, I'm going to play a song from 1984. It's from a great film. I can't actually remember what the film was called. It was probably actually called Footloose. But it's a great song by Kenny Loggins from 1984, and it's Footloose.
Loose. Cut, foot loose. Cut, foot loose.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 11th of June, 2018. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. The show's Facebook page is Health Matters Radio Show. And you can find me on the web at i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to tweet in or drop me a line via my website or via the Facebook page, then please feel free to do so. So we're going to go on to our guest interview this morning. As I mentioned, I have a good friend of mine on the show this morning, Liz Ormond from Insightful Minds. Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Morning. Very good. Thank you.
Fantastic. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Lovely to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. And we're going to find out more about Liz and also about her journey, about her background, about what she's been doing, what she's doing at the moment, and her plans for the future. And as we go through, you may find there's some areas in here that touch a chord with you. And we're going to mention how you can contact Liz at the end of the interview to obviously talk further about how she may be able to help you. So Liz, let's start at the beginning. What's your background?
So my background is initially I was in the hospitality industry. That's where so my degree is hospitality management, which is probably why I love customer service and helping people so much through my business now, to make sure the people are okay. And so that's very much, I was in the hospitality industry. That's where I had my accident, though. I was working at Heathrow Airport, as a catering manager. And that led me to having 2 years off work. And while I was off during those 2 years, I was then interested in getting myself better again because I had chronic pain syndrome. That's what I developed at that time. And that's what got me into sort of holistic therapies, etc. But I was also on a courses about IT, etc. And I was spotted helping my fellow students, and that got me off benefit and I became a teacher. So that led me into being teaching and learning manager at what is now North Kent College, Northwest Kent College, when I was there, where I was looking after the lesson observation system. I created a coaching scheme and looking after staff development, etc. So that was kind of my prior career before I got into being a therapist and coach and small business mentor.
So when you were diagnosed, or when you developed the chronic pain syndrome, obviously at that point the system wants to put you on medication. They want to put you on different drugs and painkillers.
I was on a lot of medication, and I literally got to the end of the road in healthcare, really. So when you have chronic pain syndrome or ME or fibromyalgia, often you'll get chronic pain management. I was paying for a lot of things privately as well as what was in the NHS, but it was very much they start to look at you as a whole person when you get to chronic pain, the chronic pain clinic, whereas traditional medicine doesn't look at you as so if you've got a knee problem, you're taking a particular route very logically through the NHS. So GP goes through to the orthopedic surgeon. They'll decide, is it a physio you need? Is it surgery? We can't help you, etc. Whereas when you get to the end of the line, they will eventually go, what's going on with you? And going on, so I did have some holistic approaches done through chronic pain, the chronic pain clinic as well.
So what was that switch that made you decide that actually carrying on down that route wasn't the way to go, and that perhaps there was a better way that you could heal yourself?
I don't think I made a conscious choice, if I'm being honest. I think I've been sort of guided, led, whatever you want to say. Ultimately, I had a godmother. Well, no, it's my sister's godmother. She was a GP, and she started taking me to healers, etc., to help me get well again. I also was filling that 2 years off with going on at the time, because I was on benefit. You could actually get other courses for free and whatever. So I would go on, an Indian head massage course or whatever, thinking that might help me, etc. And I found out I had a massive interest for it. As well as being an IT trainer that I then became after that.
So you could say that whilst, obviously the accident wasn't a great thing, led you to...
It is, yeah. So it was very much the catalyst for change and realising that there was more to life. I wasn't, at the time when I had the accident, I wasn't fulfilled. I was in I was being paid £12,000, something like that, but I had a degree. I wasn't fulfilling my potential. I was bored, really, I think. And I think, when we talk a bit later about what I actually do now, you'll realise about how, that time in my life wasn't a good time. Yeah. And there was things which I needed to change to actually inspire my life so it's more magical.
So when you were younger, did you have an interest in that side, you know, the things that you're doing now for,
I'm going to say no, I didn't. Yeah. And I would say that I didn't look after myself, and I've been anxious since birth, really. What I should say, actually, is that I didn't put that in the notes, that my twin sister's a GP. Mm. So actually, she's medical and I'm holistic. So there was a clash. And also from my thought patterns, I was actually comparing myself to my twin sister until only about 4 years ago. Okay. So it was that actually caused me quite a lot of anxiety and issues and things because of that, that comparison, because you'd never compare yourself to anybody.
Indeed.
That's a big piece, our first piece of advice to, we're all unique.
Absolutely. So touching your personal life, for a few years you went through a difficult period.
Yeah.
So in addition to obviously dealing with the accident in the 90s and then obviously working your way through that, in the early 2010s, 2011, there was obviously a number of...
By 2010, I was still working at the college. As I came into the college, I'd already done my coaching qualification. I've been a coach since 2002. I was one of the early coaches in the UK. There's lots more now. Mm-hmm. And I was also a Reiki practitioner, but I wouldn't tell anybody that I did Reiki because, you know, you can talk about Reiki now and people know about what it is and it's spirit, you know, there's an aspect of spiritual healing in it, et cetera. But it wasn't well known then. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of, it's like a secret squirrel thing. You might whisper to somebody and tell somebody you did it. You did, weren't open about it.
Really?
And that was kind of part of the journey. So I was a Reiki practitioner, but didn't actually try and get any clients or, you know, et cetera. So that was the start of it. But in 2010, I then became, I chose to do my neurolinguistic programming, timeline therapy, hypnotherapy to practitioner level, and then took it to master practitioner level, which is a massive shift for somebody to do all those qualifications in a year. But mm-hmm. I also did cognitive behavioral therapy, and I also did emotional freedom technique as well. And I became a Reiki master teacher in that year because Reiki, if you go through the different levels of it, when you get to the highest level, which is master teacher like I am, it's about you being a wise person, basically. You've got learnt your lessons in life, although I've learnt loads more since 2010. But,
and I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happened? So in 2011, there was a number of sort of personal issues.
2011 was quite a bad year for me, really. In the February of 2011, I had a miscarriage.
Okay.
The college also was going through a situation of the government funding changed. And that meant that we were having a redundancy situation. I wasn't being allowed to actually use any of my new holistic skills with staff, even though they were coming up and asking me to work with food cravings and weight loss and different things that was seen as that I wasn't allowed to do it. So I followed what I believe was the right thing, was to start a business and to jump ship, mm-hmm. jumping ship with, you know, some money behind me into doing what I love. You know, so I was actually, you know, practicing what I preached.
Yep.
But what I hadn't recognised is I'd helped so many people be happy about staying or going from the college. So I depleted myself, too busy, too much of a giver and not, mm-hmm. not receiving help myself. Hadn't got a network set up when I came into business as well, which made a bit of difference. I also thought I was an education consultant, which I'm not, but that's what I thought I was going to be. So mm-hmm. I've gone through weird experience in business, and that often happens to people. And I then had my husband had asked to, no, I asked my husband at the end of 2011, could we go on holiday? Because we'd also had two failed IVF attempts. And he said, yes, that was fine. He was going to fund it, although that didn't quite happen.
Right.
And we went to Egypt. He got pneumonia. He was quite sick out there. It wasn't a great holiday. We came back. Within a week of him getting better, my mum and dad were involved in a serious car crash. My mum died after 10 days. My cat had to be put down that same week. Both my sisters went manically depressed. So I was getting lower as well as was my husband. Mm-hmm. Then the year after that, my sister-in-law died in her sleep. She was the carer for my mentally ill brother-in-law. And my husband left me in 2014. With £40,000 worth of debt that had accrued over the time of me trying to get my business running when I was depressed, not being able to get things working. No matter how much I tried to get a job and tried to put my business on the side, you know, et cetera, I couldn't. Everything I tried to do, it didn't work. That's when we were together, Neil, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was, you know, you couldn't have said I didn't work hard during that time. So I worked my ass off.
Absolutely right.
But some weird things happened to me that just didn't make normal sense about why I couldn't actually, you know, make that money back or make money in my business. Mm. And the more, the thing is, the more stress you put on yourself, the more actually it won't happen for you.
Yeah.
And the more you relax, the more it will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is, you know, there is that saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, which is quite a glib saying.
I've got a massive story around resilience because I'd had a lot of health issues before that accident I had in 1996.
But for most people, those sort of 2 or 3 years would have broken them, I think.
Yeah, well, I did almost take my life in 2014. Mm. I did choose not to take medication, which is why I show people how to overcome anxiety, depression, health issues naturally, because I've done it through changing my mindset. Mm-hmm. Because what I haven't shared is actually I was born with a heart complaint that I don't have anymore. I've had asthma, I don't have that anymore. Obviously, I don't have depression anymore. I don't have chronic pain syndrome anymore. So I'm evidence that you can do things without medicine. Mm. But you do need nutrition. Yep. You do need to be eating well. But actually, I had very faulty behaviours around loving myself enough to eat well. Okay.
Yeah.
So even if, you know, I just wouldn't have listened to any information you gave me, Neil, to be perfectly honest. I'd just gone, sounds really good, and not done it.
Yeah.
So, but I knew, and also about drinking water and all different things that are actually good for you from a health basis.
Wow. So
massive sabotaging behaviour is what I work with. I have people who have addictions and gambling addiction, shopping addiction, bulimia, all different things, where that's self-hatred, I suppose is how to put it.
And you must see it a lot because, you know, obviously you and I, we both network quite a lot.
Yeah.
And you must see it in people where perhaps they don't even see it in themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And my business is called Insightful Minds. I can give everybody insight into themselves. They come and ask me, and they, whether that's doing a spiritual reading with them or they tell me a bit about their story and I go, well, you've got that problem because of da-da-da, whatever. Mm. I can you know, give them insight, which it's kind of, because I'm a trainer of neurolinguistic program, listening to people's language as well, I can spot when they're stopping themselves.
Yeah.
But I've had to stop myself telling them that because obviously they can take offence. And a lot of my audience and people who work with me are highly sensitive.
Yeah.
So I have to build rapport with somebody for them to know that they can trust me.
And then they ask, and then they ask you rather than you offering the counsel.
Exactly.
Yeah, fascinating. So let's fast forward to where we are today. Obviously, I mean, your personal experiences, the accident, and obviously the things that are happening in your personal life very much molded the person that you've become, but also put you in a great position to help other people because you've been through a lot.
Yes, I have.
There's a lot of people, there's some people that I know that talk a good talk, but haven't actually experienced many of the things that they're trying to help people with.
Yeah.
But obviously with your personal experiences, you're very much well positioned from personal experience to be able to help people. So, with your business now, how do you help people? In what ways do you help people?
Okay, so if somebody is... So I work a lot with midlife and menopausal, perimenopausal individuals. I do have some youngsters. I do have, you know, some clients who are in their 80s. Mm-hmm. But generally, they are... I'm focusing around business owners, you know, working that sort of arena, who are in midlife. So if they're working on a one-to-one basis with me, they write down their life history before they come and see me. And I analyse that for health issues they've had in the past, health issues they've got now, emotions that they talk about in their history because they'll mean something that I need to work on with them, behaviours that aren't working for them, aren't serving for them. So they may be talking to me about, you know, needing to find a new partner, and I'll teach them how to attract a new partner as part of that. They might be, you know, in ill health and need to, you know, desperately, they've had a wake-up call and need to be shown how to get out of that sabotage as well. It can be a whole series of things using neurolinguistic programming, hypnotherapy, timeline therapy, emotional freedom technique, teach them how to meditate. There's lots of different things I'm working on with a person. So on a one-to-one basis, it's a journey that you're taking with me towards your success, happiness and abundance. But it's also, I have a series of workshops as well because my book is Are You Worth It? A Spiritual Guide to Managing Your Money Mindset. My self-worth was so poor because I've been on benefit before, et cetera, that I do attract an audience who actually have poor self-worth because they've had abuse in the past, because they've been on benefit. So they often can't afford to work with me initially, okay, and I need to teach them how to do it.
Yeah.
So there's free resources on my website. There's meditations, et cetera. There's my book. There's Be an Angel, relaxation session to teach somebody not to be doing so much, so they can relax and not be, cause sometimes people can't switch their minds off. I've got neuro-linguistic programming for business. I bet that's also anybody who can come to that. It's a general eye-opener about how you're interacting with other people and why maybe you're not getting the results that you're wanting, how to communicate effectively. Mm-hmm. I run training around neuro-linguistic programming and Reiki if you want to become practitioners. I have lots of different courses, really, which are building blocks for somebody to come and work with me. So I run my own network, have Insightful Minds Meetup, where I'll support business owners, new and old, to make sure that they actually have emotional support while they're building their business. Because it's Neil, the confidence issues that come up as part of running a business, massive, about your capabilities and whether you should do it, whether you should just check it all in, etc. So that's really what Insightful Minds Meetup is about, is to support people and to teach them how to network.
Yep.
But I also have online resources. There's a networking course online, Manifesting Profitable Connections, How to Network Magically. There's also, I'm so concerned about people not getting the right therapy and waiting to be seen by somebody. I've got a Be Happier course, only £37, for somebody to work through so they've actually got a resource, because there seems to be a bit of a chasm that the NHS don't have as much money as they'd like to have. But nobody's teaching people how to make money to be able, but people are paying money on gambling, drugs, smoking, etc. But actually, why can't they buy the therapy that they need at a lower cost? Mm. So I've designed a course to try and meet that chasm, really, to work with people. So there's lots of different ways that people can interact with me. So if somebody says, well, I haven't got the money, I will teach them which is the first thing that they need to in the path to work with me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any money and I've had to learn how to do it. So if I know how to, if I've had to learn how to do it, they can learn from me, because I'm a teacher. So I'll teach them how to, and even a homeless person, I won't give them my book. I'll teach them how to get the money together to buy my book.
Yeah.
Or to get hold of it or to manifest it.
Yeah.
In a different way, because it's about teaching that they can do it rather than saying, oh, you can't do it, or judging that somebody hasn't got the money. It's about empowerment and enlightenment.
I think empowerment's the key word, isn't it?
It is. Empowerment and enlightenment are
taking
key
control
behind my business.
Yeah.
About empowering people to know, because we don't realise that we set a standard of how much we can earn ourselves based on our belief system and the things that we've been through, and you energetically need to raise that rate, and you can do it, but you have to keep testing yourself and unblocking what is it that's stopping you. And I block myself all the time, and I'm unblocking myself to actually go forward, to move forward.
Brilliant. So what results do you see from your clients? So if people come to you with various issues, various problems, once they've worked with you for a while, what results do you see in people?
There's various different results. I mean, I've had, you'll feel more in flow, you're getting more things are happening that you want to happen in the right way. You feel much more visionary and alignment with who you are as a person, because we all have a spiritual mission about what we're on and where we're going. We often don't know what that is. So you understand what your life purpose is, feel more happy, joyful, creative. You lose weight. Your sex life might improve. Will improve if you do the work behind it. You'll be earning more money. You're living more in the now. You're not living in the past. Mm-hmm. Feeling much more connected, so your relationships are better. I've had clients who have had a stroke. They now could use both hands again because I've been able to rebalance them. I've had Kent Women in Business Awards. 18 of my clients were actually finalists. Mm. Actually, some of them were winners as well. So I think it's really empowering. No, I can't tell everybody who my clients are, and that's a bit of a challenge for me. And also, you only get...
Yeah.
When you work with people around depression, anxiety, fears, phobias, you only get 5% word of mouth referrals as well. So I need as much help as I can get to do what I'm doing. Okay. So I couldn't tell it. I could say I've got 18 people because I know who bought the book, have been on the courses, etc., and worked with me. But I think that's quite impressive, really, about how many people are moving forward because of what I'm doing and putting in place.
Yeah, I must admit, when I found that out, I was most impressed.
Thank you.
Well done.
I was. When I saw it, I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Fantastic.
But yeah.
And I guess for those 18 people, you'd seen from firsthand.
That's right, seen their development.
Their journey and how they've changed. Yeah.
Some people just, not just for the finalists, but some people just read the book, and that's fantastic for me. The book is saving lives. Mm-hmm. I've had a client who came to see me. It was before the consumer version of the book was out. He came to see me about fear of flying. But in the first meeting, when I only work in 3-hour sessions, I said to him, he said something about, if you think about it, if a bus came along, I wouldn't think twice really about just going and that being it, and that being the end of his life. And he's in his 50s. And he wasn't somebody who looked that he was openly anxious and depressed about something, okay? But a lot of men actually suppress things which are going on. Mm. And 84 men commit suicide, I think it's every week, which is massive because men are much more logical. He bought my book. I didn't even try and sell the book to him because it was a business book at the time, but yeah, he'd gone and bought it. And he said, your book is all about money and I've got money. And I was like, good for you. You know, he'd got money. Anyway, he went away because he'd booked another session with me, came back to the next session. He went, your book, it's not about money, is it? Mm. I said, it's not, is it? It's your health is your wealth. Because your money beliefs directly link to your self-worth and link to the issues that have happened to you.
Yeah.
And as he changed his behaviour and understood what is in my book, he had that transformation. The love game that's unique in my book actually helped him understand, you know, which way to go and to have the happy life he was meant to have.
Yeah. From first-hand experience, I've read your book, as you know.
Yeah. And
it was very good, actually. Yeah. It was very enlightening.
So that's, I've sold way over 1,000 copies now.
That's good.
It's selling, I'd like to get into the NHS. If anyone can help with that, please do.
Likewise.
Yes. On it. But it's very much about, empowering others to be able to move forward. Your average first book only sells 50 copies.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's because of your self-worth. It's much harder selling something of your own than it is of somebody else's.
Yeah.
Hence the networking, why we sell everybody else's stuff and not our own stuff.
Yeah, interesting.
And then other people sell ours. Yeah, that's how it is.
So what are your plans for the coming year or two years?
Okay, so I'm creating a new book that's called Awaken the Vision Within, that has a series of meditations that goes with it. And that's designed for intangible business owners, consultants, trainers, coaches, health practitioners, for them to actually to build a business that will be successful. When you're a traditional business of, we were talking before about a builder, for example, people know what that is. Mm-hmm. You do a good job, people recommend you get business. When you're something less tangible and you've got to bring your wisdom together and create products and services as part of that, it's a much longer journey and to design it, etc. So Awaken the Vision Within is explaining that mission. It looks at your spiritual mission, your vision, your ideal client, business planning, finances, money mindset, visibility, networking skills, as well as self-care. So you can stay in the game for longevity, not be, only 1 in 5 businesses actually make 5 years.
Yep.
And I'm also created a program called the Money Energizer Program, which is Reiki Level 1 and Neuro-Linguistic Programming Practitioner with business mentorship as part of it. A lot of people do their level one Reiki or do their NLP, but actually don't have the confidence to go and use it. Also, I'm concerned that individuals doing just Reiki on its own, it's very low price for actually what it is, and spiritual healing, are actually getting sick. They're not understanding how the mindset actually works with what you're saying in your brain is saying, how it links to aspects of your body. So that's why I'm combining it together so that people get the shift together. And that team who go through that training with me will become my mentors for the future as well. And the book after that, which I'm just writing notes about, will be The Courtship, which is about teaching people how if they're looking for love, how to find love. So that we have, because often my clients are single, divorcing, going through issues and need a bit of guidance about how to have longer relationships. Because ultimately, because of social media now, we've become, we're not communicating in the same way. We're saying things we don't really mean. The written word is only 7% of your communication. So, I certainly thought a boyfriend I had last year, he dumped me by a text. And I was like, I didn't know there was a problem. I phoned him up after. I was actually delivering a talk at a network. And it happened that people were doing an exercise. I just happened to look at my phone and was like, well, there's nothing I can do about it now. Stay calm and I'll ring him afterwards. Ring him afterwards. It was something to do with the internet not working, not to do with us not working.
Yeah.
But how he'd worded it, that's what it sounded like on it. So that's how you can have total miscommunication and that there'd be a problem. So, so I've got those are my main plans, really. And
exciting times.
Menopause retreat, I think, is on the cards as well. Wow. And getting in more corporate work around menopause and mental health issues as well.
So who would be your ideal client? Obviously, you cover a range of areas, but who, for people listening out there, who would be someone that you could identify with?
I think generally it's somebody who has been through a lot. Okay, they've suffered quite a lot through their life. They've had quite a lot of health issues. Generally, I resonate a lot with academics. So you may well have a degree, don't have to. No, mm-hmm. But you may well. You've often are an overachiever, often a perfectionist as well. And just somebody who, you may well be a business owner, you may be thinking of having a business, or you're already in business. You may have gone through different issues within your business and got highly stressed and you don't know how to get out of it. But I do resonate a lot with people who are highly empathic and usually quite spiritual. Some people listening may understand the terms of indigo, crystal and rainbow children from a spiritual perspective. And unconsciously, I seem to set up a business to help you all achieve your global mission. So you'll understand it if you know what that is, or go and Google it and see if you are one.
Fantastic. So how can people get in touch with you, Liz? What's your website address? What's your email address?
My website address is insightfulminds.co.uk. Mm-hmm. People can get in touch with me by emailing me, which is liz@insightfulminds.co.uk. I suggest that people book a 20-minute complimentary consultation with me. The reason being is I know my business best and it is still evolving, so mm-hmm. my website doesn't really show it probably in its best light because okay. of some of the brand stuff that I'm going through at the moment. So I can direct you to what's right for you, whether it's a free resource, because mm-hmm. that's absolutely fine in my book to help you for free as part of it. But I can't help everybody for free, but I can direct you in the quickest way to get that if you've got no budget. But I will then direct you what's the next stage when you have got some money to come and work with, what's the next thing, because it's literally a building block process. Some people can come work with me straight away and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you're a millionaire you're unhappy or you've got depression, then come work with me. But in the mind, health, wealth and happiness is interlinked. So
definitely.
Just because you've got money doesn't mean that you're going to be happy.
Fantastic.
But obviously I need some clients who've actually had money.
That's help, doesn't it?
I have no business.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you very much. It's been really interesting to find out more about your background and obviously where you've been, what you've done and also your plans for the future. Sounds very, very exciting. So thank you for coming on the show this morning. And just to reiterate, Liz's website is www.insightfulminds.co.uk. So make contact with Liz and have a chat with her about ways that she might be able to help you. So thank you very much, Liz. So cracking on with the show, I've got another song for you from 1984. It's a classic from Wham. I was never a Wham fan, but I do like this song. And it's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday the 11th of June. And you've just been listening to my guest, Liz Ormond, from Insightful Minds, having a discussion about her background and obviously the things that she's doing now. And again, just a quick reminder, Liz's website is www.insightfulminds.co.uk. So before we wrap up the show in 5 minutes' time, I'm going to have a quick chat with you about black seed oil. Now, I covered black seed oil briefly on last week's show and what it is and what it does and where it comes from. It comes from the seeds of the black cumin plant, and it's got a lot of health benefits. And we discuss things like helping people with certain bacterial diseases and the way it can help with things like MRSA. So there's a lot of research at the minute into naturally fighting some of the things that we depend on medication for at the moment. But what happens if you take black seed oil as a supplement? Now, there's a lot of interesting research out there at the moment that have suggested that black seed oil is good for things like helping to lower blood sugar. So if you're a type 2 diabetic, that can be quite useful. It can help in reducing weight. It can help with hair loss, skin disorders, and as I mentioned, infections to do with certain types of bacteria. So we're going to go through some quick benefits. Again, do your own research on these, but there's plenty of research on the internet as to the benefits of black seed oil. So one of the ways that black seed oil can help you is it can help liver health. Now, your liver is one of the most important organs in your body. It often gets neglected by many, many people, but it is the body's processing plant. Pretty much everything goes through the liver, and it's important to keep your liver healthy. If your liver's healthy, then generally your other body systems are healthy too. And you people can get poor liver function from things like excess alcohol. Obviously, weight, carrying too much weight can put strain on the liver. And things like medication, if you're on pharmaceutical medication, they can put a lot of strain on the liver. And black seed oil actually helps the liver to regenerate, and it can help the liver to heal itself. And there's been a lot of research on animals about the function of black seed oil and the way it can help the liver and help you to prevent further damage to the liver as well. And we touched on diabetes. Now, obviously, I'm a diabetes expert. And I bump into people all the time with type 2 diabetes. And black seed oil can actually help not just to reduce down blood sugar levels, but it can also help the beta cells of the pancreas to regenerate. And one of the issues with type 2 diabetes is either the person is insulin resistant or that their pancreas isn't working properly, and that the beta cells are becoming exhausted, and black seed oil can actually help that. And if you're on medication, if you're on, for example, metformin, there are some side effects to metformin, as you'll probably read in the paperwork that comes with the drug. And these can be things like gas, it can be heartburn, it can be headaches, it can be muscle pain, it can be stomach pain, it can be bloating. And actually black seed oil has been proven to help those conditions as well, those side effects of taking the drugs. If you are a type 2 diabetic, perhaps have a look at the benefits of black seed oil to your condition. Black seed oil also helps with weight loss. There's a lot of studies out there that have shown how black seed oil can improve your metabolism, and it can help reduce waist circumference as well. It's good with people that have skin conditions. So if they have allergic reactions or they have things like eczema, Black seed oil has been proven to actually help people with skin conditions. It can benefit your hair. This is quite interesting. So people with potentially that have got alopecia, black seed oil has been shown to benefit them as well. But it can also just boost the general health of your hair and your scalp because it's full of antioxidants, antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties as well. There are studies that have shown that black seed oil also helps fertility. So I'll leave you to look into those ones yourself. But also if you suffer from high cholesterol, too much LDL, then black seed oil has also been shown to reduce down levels of LDL cholesterol and actually increase levels of HDL cholesterol. Now, you can take black seed oil as an oil. You can also buy capsules as well. And to be fair, I haven't really done it justice. There is a huge amount of health benefits to black seed oil. So I'd recommend that you do, you go online, do your own research into black seed oil, have a look at the benefits. If you see that they relate to any particular conditions that you've got, you may want to consider taking black seed oil. If you're a diabetic, for example, if you've got high blood pressure, if you've got high cholesterol, black seed oil has been shown to be beneficial. How quick an hour goes. It's time to wrap up the show now. And I'd like to thank Liz once again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you on. It's been great to have you on this morning. A quick reminder of my website address, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Make contact with me via my website if you'd like a chat about this, any of the subjects that we've discussed today, or any other health-related issue. If you suffer with weight, too much weight, or you need help with type 2 diabetes, you can find all the previous shows on the media page on my website, and all the previous shows and this show would also be available on iTunes podcast if you search the Health Matters Radio Show. And if you'd like to come on the show, as Liz has done this morning, and explain to people more about what you do and how you can help people, then please make contact with me via my website and we'll have a chat about you coming on the show in the coming weeks. So we're going to wrap up now with another great song from 1984. It's a classic from Nick Kershaw. And until next week, until next Monday at the same time, I wish you a great week. Stay happy, stay healthy. And I'll catch you 11 o'clock next Monday.
Right there if I were you, I got it harder, you couldn't